Thank you very much, John, and praise God for these verses that we'll look at today here in Philippians 4, the ones you recited, verses 6 and 7, and I do praise God. I know I was with you last week, not feeling the greatest, but nothing serious, but I am feeling just fine, so praise God for that. Thank you for your prayers. If I did come to mind, sometimes when you're not feeling well, you wonder if you're ever going to feel well, and but nothing to be complaining about and nothing to really be concerned about. But the I do thank God for just His care for us. I thank God for bringing us back together to look at these verses and you know, all that God has protected us from. I'm just, as I turn to Philippians 4 here, a busy weekend just with, you know, graduation at the school that I teach at, and there was a banquet on Friday night, and traveling back from the banquet on Friday night there on the Eisenhower, the banquet didn't get over till after 9, so it was late and dark, but I saw something I've never seen in my whole life. I mean, praise God, but I was driving in this lane, and the lane over with the furthest to the right, this individual entered, you know, we're on the Eisenhower Expressway, and this car, all of a sudden, I mean, just at full blast, accelerated, went over four lanes, and almost horizontal, I mean, just, and rammed the car. It almost like he targeted that car, and I was right behind him, you know, and so somehow that car spun, you know, in a wreck, and the other one, and I missed both of them by about 6 inches, so I just worship God for that. So in one sense, it was a non-event for me, but, you know, it certainly could have been different, you know, and of course, God is looking after so many ways that sometimes maybe we're just oblivious to, day after day after day. And of course, anytime you get in an automobile, in one sense, you never know what the person next to you is going to be in the right mind or whatever, but, and I don't know, in a sense, I've looked, tried to see, maybe some of you could tell me, I looked online to try to see the follow-up of that. I haven't been able to see a report of it, but anyhow, I thank God to be with you today, and everything is just fine. The and here we have this incredible command to be anxious for nothing. And the first thing I want to say is just the opposite of anxiety is not apathy. You say, okay, if I just don't care about anybody, well, I won't be anxious. But yet, Scripture highlights the opposite of anxiety is godly concern. And actually, the same Greek word is used for both, godly concern and anxiety, and the context determines which is which, whether it's a virtue or a sin that he's talking about. He mentions there, and all of the sufferings that Paul talks about when he recites his sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, on top of all these things is the daily concern for the churches. To care, there is a suffering to care. When he talks about the 2 Corinthians 11, 28, when he talks about the body of Christ, how the body functions different, the body, each part cares for the other in the body of Christ, the 1 Corinthians 12. When he's talking about that chapter that has a context of its own in regard to singleness and marriage in 1 Corinthians 7, he'll talk about being concerned for the things of the Lord, how we may please Him. And then in that same passage, he'll talk about being concerned for the things of one's spouse, how to please them. So godly concern is a virtue. Now, anxiety is something he forbids us from, and what's the difference between the two? As you well know, and I probably said before, if you put it in a mathematical formula, it would be this: concern, this godly concern plus unbelief equals anxiety. So see, God wants to aid us in carrying our godly concerns. It's a concern plus faith, that's a virtue. And you know, it's just as you live your life before the Lord this morning, just say, God, you know, would you search my heart? Is there, and as I've done many times, and I do many times, and I need to continually, is there anything between me and full obedience to this verse, or the corresponding verse in 1 Peter 5, 7? Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Is there any care that you're carrying that He wants you to what? Commit it to Him. And so sometimes literally we'll talk about that. Now, why is God so concerned? Why does he give us this gracious, wonderful command, which most of us would say that we've disobeyed many times in our life, to be anxious for nothing? Why does he give us that command? It's out of great, great love for us he gives us that command. See, he knows what anxiety does to us. And maybe I mentioned one time in the very first year that I came to teach many, many years ago, the year 1980, before a number of you were born. But that's when I started my teaching and I inherited a class on Galatians and the prison epistles, Philippians being one of the prison epistles. So I was teaching through this. And now all the people that had signed up for that class, I was 42 years younger then, you know, so I was a young professor, the youngest one now. Now I'm the oldest. But the youngest one at that particular time, and the all the people that signed up for that class signed up for another teacher, and who a very seasoned professor who transferred, you know, in the middle of summer, and so here I was a new hire, and so I inherited that class, and so they wondered who it. And there was one particular student that I've ever mentioned him before. He would sit in the back row, and here, you know, you're brand new, whatever, and he would sit in the back row, and as you were teaching, here's what he'd do. You know, the opposite of affirmation and encouragement or whatever. But you know, toward the end of a semester, he was very bitter. And toward the end of the semester, though, he began to open up a little bit about his bitterness. And God began to, in fact, God's blessing fell upon that class unlike no other. So it was a very, very special time. But I remember that class was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And that Friday morning as I was preparing to teach on this passage, you know, I knew I had to be prayed up when I went to that class, mainly because of that student. And there, as I was studying this, that's where some of these insights came, you know, because I needed them. And the idea of why does God want you not to be anxious? And as I looked up all the different ways that Scripture uses that particular Greek word when it's referring to anxiety, and one of us is in the parable of the sower, where he tells us there are certain things that choke God's word from bearing fruit. Mark 4:19, he says, the worries, same Greek word, the worries of the world choke God's word from bearing fruit. Now that's pretty easy to understand that. You know, sometimes when you're worried and you can't even listen to somebody, even though you're sort of there bodily, but you're really not there. And I've learned when I really know somebody and they know me well, I said, man, I want to listen to you, but man, I'm just, could you give me a, in fact, I remember one, maybe I've told you this, one student came to ask for some counsel and he was talking to me and I said, wow, could we just pause just a second? I really want to fully be here, but something's really on my mind. Would you just bow and pray with me that I could really cast this upon God so that I could really be here and fully listen to you? And I'll never forget that. Now, I needed that, and he was gracious to do that. That was no problem for him. But I remember after that, he just broke. And he told me what he really wanted to tell me. So God used my weakness. God, and I say, boy, how often does that happen? You know, somebody talking to you, but they're just sort of feeling, yeah, can I really tell this guy what I really want to tell him? But anyhow, when you're anxious about something, you really can't listen. And it chokes God's word from bearing fruit. So anytime the word of God is sown, you can expect those fiery darts of fear and anxiety can be thrown at you to hinder you from being able to listen. Sometimes Sunday morning can be a very anxious time in the life of a person, life of a family. So anxiety chokes God's word from bearing fruit. It also, anxiety steals opportunities from us, special opportunities. That story that we've preached on a few times there in the Luke 10, that last few verses of Luke 10, when Martha invited Jesus into her home. She welcomed into her home, but she didn't enjoy the visit because she says, you're worried and you're bothered about so many things. And so that worry stole the opportunity to enjoy Jesus' visit. And sometimes we've hosted situations or some, and we really didn't enjoy the Lord in the process. And the more responsible you feel for something, the harder sometimes it is to enjoy the Lord in the process. So anxiety steals opportunities from us. It stolen opportunities from me various occasions. And another thing that why God wants you to experience victory over anxiety is anxiety hinders our perspective. Our Lord, in talking about His second coming, He says there are some people that are not going to be ready for His second coming because it says they will be weighed, Luke 21:34, they will be weighed down by the ordinary concerns of life, same Greek word. Just ordinary life has enough concerns to weigh you down and lose your perspective. And then the one other insight I get of why God He wants us to respond to this anxiety is anxiety accomplishes nothing positive. I was raised by a very, very, very conscientious mother. And I think I was sort of trained that in some situations you were supposed to be anxious, you know. It would be hard when they're in the boat in the familiar story and Jesus is asleep in the boat there on the Sea of Galilee and the storm comes and he's asleep. I was raised, it was my responsibility to be scared to death. I'm about to lose my life. But Jesus rebukes them for their unbelief. So I know that is so different. But anxiety accomplishes nothing positive. Someone says it's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, doesn't get you anywhere. So, God wants you to respond to His gracious command, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Now, God Almighty, the God of the universe, says be anxious for nothing. Now, praise God, He doesn't stop there because that would make you more anxious. Now you not only know you're anxious, now you know you're sinning, so that doesn't help a whole lot. But He says, be anxious for nothing. But then He tells us, okay, how do you process that? And so this familiar verse that you know so well, He says, in everything, first word He says is by prayer. Anytime you're tempted to be anxious, God is prompting you, tapping you on the shoulder and said, we need to have a conversation. Talk to Him. I think reverentially and honestly, talk to God. Sometimes you're anxious because there's something you desire. Sometimes you're anxious about something you dread. So something you're experiencing. Sometimes you don't really even know why you're anxious. And so you have to talk to God about that. Lord, what is it that's really bothering me? Why am I so concerned about this? What is it I'm really concerned about? So prayer, that's the first thing. Let it draw you into conversation with God. Draw you into conversation with God. When you're talking to God about your anxiety, you're talking to God from your heart. Now He says, you pray, but He says you also, He says, with supplication, let your request be made known. So supplications and petitions and requests. In other words, make known to God. Tell God what you want Him to do about it. You say, God, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but Lord, this is what I want you to do about it. And sometimes you'll never have peace until you do that. But tell God what you want Him to do about it. Sometimes you have to go to God and get insight. Lord, how do I trust you with this petition? How do I trust you with this anxiety? God, would you train me to trust you with this anxiety? Sometimes you need help from other people. Bear one another's burdens, let's fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes you need just somebody agreeing with you as you commit that to God. Sometimes you need somebody praying for you to commit that anxiety to God. I found this, that sometimes as you trust God to... When I want to make a transaction that I've committed to God, so when I'm tempted to take it back, I can rehearse that transaction. And so sometimes I will write out the transaction I'm making. God, I'm trusting you in this way based on this verse. So write it out. So you supplicate, you ask Him. And then thirdly, very, very important. He says it's thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. So even pray, talk to him about it, ask him what you want to do about it. If you get help from others, get help from Scripture. God, show me how to trust you with this. But thanksgiving, if you leave out thanksgiving, so you can talk to God about your concern, your anxiety, and you get more wrapped up in it. If you leave out, it's thanksgiving that lifts your heart to God. Thanksgiving and praise is one of the most powerful weapons in our spiritual battle. You thank him. Okay, how do you thank? Well, thank you, Lord, that you are, that you're sovereign and you're good in this situation. You pledge and promise to work all things ultimately together for good. I praise you. You praise him and thank him that, God, it's not your will that I be loaded down with anxiety. You're the one who's given me the command to be anxious for nothing. You're the one who says, cast all your cares upon me. And so, God, would you help me to obey that command? And it says, thank him also that his peace surpasses all comprehension. See, God can give you peace that really surpasses your intellectual ability to understand and relieve yourself of this anxiety. Because, sometimes we've been raised that it's my responsibility to be scared to death. But yet God tells me not to. So God can give you that peace that guards your hearts and minds. Philippi had a strategic location in regard to it. It guarded the Roman Empire from a northern invasion. And so they understood that metaphor, the idea of, okay, just as the city of Philippi guarded the Roman Empire from a northern invasion, he says the peace of God can guard your minds and your heart from this invading anxiety that's seeking to cripple you. God is all-powerful. This is a big, big way that you get to know God. It's a big, big way. It's something that's really opened up the Scriptures to me. It's what's made certain verses very, very precious that I cling to in the midst of this concern or that concern. So lastly, I talk about the pathway to God's peace. We've said that being not be anxious doesn't mean you be apathetic, you don't care. No, godly concern is a virtue, but God wants to aid us in carrying that in faith. The reason he wants to aid us in carrying that faith because of the destructive patterns of anxiety, what it does for our soul, doesn't accomplish anything positive, chokes God's word from bearing fruit, steals opportunities from us, hinders our perspective. But every time we're tempted to be anxious, God's saying, talk to me about it. And even if you have to ask him, God, what is it I'm really anxious about? Help me to get to the core of it. Anything you want to do in my life. And Lord, would you show me how to petition you in this anxiety? And also, don't forget to thank him and praise him, that it's not his will that you be crippled with anxiety. And so the pathway to God's peace, Jesus tells us don't be anxious about even your food and what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. We all need food. We all need something to clothe, to wear. But he says, don't be anxious. But when he gives that climax, pathway to God's peace, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So he says, let your greatest concern be living under the rule of God. That's his kingdom. And living in harmony with his truth. Let that be your greatest concern. Okay? If I'm under your rule, I'm in harmony with you. Now, you can be anxious sometimes about how a person's going to respond or whatever, and that's outside of your control. But let your greatest concern be living under his rule, seeking his kingdom, and in accord with his truth, seeking first his righteousness. So let that be your greatest concern. Sometimes when we've got our priorities, we're not going to get the peace that God wants us to. And secondly, he tells us right after that, not to be anxious for tomorrow. So whatever you're concerned about, whatever your anxiety, it's learning to trust God one moment at a time. One moment at a time. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. whatever your greatest anxiety is, if I said, and I've told you this before, can you trust God just to get through the next 5 minutes? And if that's too much, the next 1 minute. If that's too much, the next 15 seconds. You can trust God with that. But you take that same anxiety, the concern, and that can turn to anxiety, and you think about the days, the weeks, the months, the years ahead, it's just, you can't carry it. But God gives you the grace for this moment. And that's all the faith you'll ever have to have. So trust God one moment at a time, one moment at a time, one moment at a time. And then as we see what this verse tells us, learn to unburden your heart. Learn to unburden your heart. Just exactly the way he tells us to do it here. Pray. As you talking to God from your heart, okay, this is a concern to me. As you help him get in touch with your concern and petition him, that really will open up scripture. In regard to, would you train me to petition God with this particular anxiety? And thanking him and praising him, the power of that. I would say, to me, that can be one wonderful goal, not to be the only time, but for each Lord's Day. Each Lord's Day, would you show me anything I'm carrying that's weighing me down? And sometimes we don't even realize what we're carrying. I just know it's like sometimes I've been moving so fast, I don't even know what I'm carrying. And you know, we're weighed down. But everybody we see is like that, this looks normal, you know, and this looks freakish. So let that be your goal of every Lord's Day. Say, God, in fact, I do have a particular, as I probably told you before, a particular prayer list I look at once a week, and I have 1 Peter 5:7 on top of that. And under that are things that if I got my eyes off the Lord could easily degenerate into great anxiety. And I just want to say, God, am I really carrying? I'm trusting you to carry that and carry that and carry that and carry that. Some things are harder than others. The more something means to you, the harder it is to trust God with it. And like I said, there's nothing wrong to saying we need other people's help. So let it be a goal of each Lord's Day. And like I say, surrender this whole process to Christ. Surrender this whole process to Christ. Before our Lord left this earth, and his disciples didn't understand what was going on. He says, look, I'm going somewhere and you can't follow me and you can't tell you where I'm going. But he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give unto you. The peace, not only that he gave, but the peace that sustained him as he walked this earth with all kind of pressures. He woke up every day and knowing there was a plot to kill him. And that can steal your peace. He woke up every day and think of, with this infinite sensitivity, all the expectations that people had upon him and the agendas had people upon him, that can steal your peace. You marvel that a man could, in his humanity, could exist, much less have peace. But okay, so he wants to train you and me. He knows some secrets we don't know. And so, Lord, I want to... Would you train me to experience peace? My peace. So surrender the whole process to God. In the world, you'll have tribulation, he says. But I've overcome the world. In me, you'll have peace. John 16:33. So here it's the glorious thing. One of the aspects of what God is conforming you to the image of Christ. He's ruling and overruling every event under heaven to conform you to the image of Christ. One aspect of that image of Christ is learning to experience his peace and learning to cast your cares upon God. None of us are fully or have arrived. I certainly haven't. But that's an exciting process that God is at work. And he's given us the aid of his Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Well, what a gracious God. What a gracious command to give us a command to be anxious for nothing. To be anxious for nothing. And that's not irresponsibility. God won't make you irresponsible. Sometimes I think we're afraid to grab a hold of his peace because we feel like, hey, if I don't worry about this, nobody else is going to take care of it. You almost feel like, okay, by worrying, you can accomplish something in it. So surrender the whole process to God, and may He glorify His name in an abundant way today. And I thank God, in a sense, for the resources we even have as a church family. If there's anything on your heart that the body of Christ can aid one in caring, that's our responsibility to each other. So thank you, dear God, for your wonderful, gracious command to be anxious for nothing. Father, we come to you not as ones who've never sinned, but as ones who many times have disobeyed you, dear God. And we thank you that there's forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. And God, I ask you, as you rule and overrule every event into heaven and conform us to the image of Christ, that you would train us in casting our cares upon you. Even today, would you show us anything between you and full obedience to that command to cast all our cares upon you, because you care for us. Would you, in a deep way that all of us need to hear, would you just assure us of your care for that which is the greatest concern in our life? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.